It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We are live. I'm Nick Rauch. He's Adam Luckett. And this is 11 Personnel presented by our good friends at Monticello Bank. They've been in business for 128 years. They've got 21 branches in 14 different counties. Check out their rates online, nbcbank.com. They're putting people first. They've been in business for so long because it's what they do best. Putting people first. It's where people matter. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Give Monticello Bank a shot today for all your banking needs. Look, we need to talk football. We're going to talk about the Cats and the Gamecocks, a big game Saturday night that I'm excited for, nervous for. I'm excited for the road trip aspect of it, too, because it is a fun one, and it's the last one of the year. So I'm looking forward to going out in the town Friday night. I don't know about you boys, but... We got a 7:30 kickoff. It's not like you got to drive an hour from Tupelo to get there. You know, everything's right there. We were staying in Commerce last time. We've got a nice spread here this time. And we know, so for everybody out there who ran into that traffic in Athens, just take 25 through Middlesboro. That we know in advance. They're still doing that construction in Williamsburg. So we're not going to get stuck in that traffic like the 17 other thousand times that Pete got stuck in traffic coming back from Chicago today.
Yeah, that's just the Chicago tax you have to pay. Anytime you head up to that city, you're going to hit bad traffic one way or the other. And if you get out of there alive, it's just regression to the mean. You know you're going to hit some on the way home. But yeah, looking forward to the trip to Cola, Nick. Be my third time going to East Columbia. West Columbia is in Missouri. East Columbia, South Carolina. So looking forward to it. That stadium rocks. Usually it's pretty rowdy atmosphere outside the stadium, tailgate setup. Last year, or 2021 when I went, they really did some upgrades just all around the stadium and downtown, and it was really nice, I thought, last time I went down there. So looking forward to getting back there and in a game, Nick, I think game with stakes for both sides. I think both of these teams have something to play for, and that should make this an interesting matchup. And for Kentucky, it's a revenge spot off of last year.
Here's a question I was wondering. Where do we rank Columbia among the Carolina towns, south and north? Let's mix them all in because we've got a huge diversity in geography. You know, you got, I mean, Myrtle Beach has got to be up there, right?
I've been to Charleston, I've been to Columbia, but I haven't really been to anywhere else in the Carolinas. I haven't been to Charlotte, haven't really spent any time in North Carolina. We never really vacationed in Myrtle Beach or any of that growing up. So I don't know.
Missed out on lots of t-shirts, man. A lot of airbrush t-shirts.
You know, I don't know. I've never been to Scott Satterfield Country in Boone.
To go to Boone. Yeah.
That's a place that just in general or an area that I definitely need to see some more of. So I don't, my only real experiences are Columbia. The first year I went, Stephen Pink will like this. After the game, it ended up at Waffle House. The Waffle House was rocking. It was just like the Tupelo Waffle House. And so the Waffle House, they like to have a good time there in Columbia. And I remember the first time I went there, Nick. This was my younger years. Mark Stoops' second season, they go down, or third season, go down there and beat them on the road for the first time. The late night establishments, the watering holes, they closed shop at like midnight. So we got there. And they were like, well, we shut down because it's Sunday. Apparently, they have to close early on Sunday, but they stay, or Saturday night, but they stayed open till late, till like 3:30 on Friday nights.
Because Jesus says you need to go home and go to church the next day.
Yeah, that's what they told me.
Interesting.
I ended up driving home. And Columbia also is like an hour longer than you want it to be the drive.
Yeah, that's true. I will.
It feels like you should be done, and you're in the car for 90 more minutes.
Yeah. I think Asheville's a pretty cool spot. And
I've been to Asheville. I forgot. We went there last summer. But yeah.
I would like to try Wilmington because that's the, you know, the kind of North Carolina beachy area, from my understanding. Yes. But yes. Charleston is the coolest out of all of them. I think Charleston's great. I'd probably do Charleston, Charlotte. And I compare Asheville to Colleen. Asheville, too many people like strung out on drugs you don't want to be strung out on. There's just people you're like, oh, he's done some stuff that you shouldn't be doing. But Columbia, it's a great time, and I know if you're a little bit younger, 5 points, that's the place to be. It's actually nice too during the day, you know, like if we want to go happy hour, right? Show up and just ready to crack a cold one, that could be the move. But then just their downtown area is pretty awesome, because
yes, it is.
They have to have stuff for the young professionals that work at the Capitol. And so they got a nice strip of, establishments there right in front of that Capitol, ground. So, my favorite spot they shut down, they used to have this place that sold, stubby natty bottles for $2 and had like a shuffleboard table, and it was, concrete. That place shut down. I think the Wig, their snooty fluty like craft beer places there, but that place was cool just because it was just in a basement, and you were like, how is this? You just felt like you were in a place that people would drink at in the 40s or something, or the 20s. Like
Prohibition.
We're hiding out to drink. So that was a fun deal, but I'm looking forward to getting out and about Friday night, seeing some of the Big Blue Nation out there before a big game on Saturday. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of how Kentucky matches up with Shane Beamer's South Carolina Gamecocks, look it, time to fire that bad boy up. Let's crank up this coaching carousel and see where it takes us, because it's one of those things that since we've been doing this show, each year I'm loving it more and more and more. And Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M, They're just going to be a content gift over the next month as to the fallout for that. Because the fun thing about the Texas A&M job, Luckett, is you can just say any name, and it's like, yeah, I can see it. And there's a lot of guys that are, like, maybe they have some sort of secret big name in there. But a lot of the names that are being thrown around, it's the Kansas coach. It's the Tulane coach, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Willie Fritz and Jamie Chadwell, how many times have they been in coaching search shortlists over the last 4 years? I mean, that's just
a lot.
Exactly. So I'm curious how that is between that and just also having multiple openings in the SEC always adds a little extra juice to it, like it.
Yeah, I'm going to try. We'll see how it goes. Once a week to just kind of jump into the carousel and write about it. And that first one went up today, KSR Plus. So jump all over there with us, and we're on the message board. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. So come on and join us if you haven't already. And basically, I wrote today kind of about A&M, Nick. And a lot of the talk is A&M, like national championship, top 10 job. But it's not a top 5 job in this conference, right? With Oklahoma and Texas coming in. Alabama's a better job. Georgia's a better job. LSU's a better job. Texas is a better job. Sorry, Texas Aggs. Mm-hmm. And then I think you could argue Florida is probably a better job. And I think last 20 years has told us Oklahoma is a better job, right? You know,
yeah.
They just win all the time, no matter who is a head coach there. I know what they have, but how can you sit there and say, like, this is a cream of the crop job, which I think is going to be kind of the talk here. I don't believe it is. Their culture is money, right? Their history is money. So I could see this search end up being very underwhelming unless they are able to convince someone to leave a spot that they're not great in. So I would bet they probably hire Mike Elko because that makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
But can they get somebody like, if they call James Franklin, would he finally say, I've had enough up here in Central PA? I think Penn State's in Central PA.
Middle of nowhere, State College, yeah.
Yeah, and just middle of nowhere state college, go then go to Texas. At least you're closer to Houston.
So yeah, you're an hour away from Houston.
College Bryan Station to return to the SEC. Maybe would that happen? I don't know. But like a lot of the names you're hearing thrown out are right: Jeff Traylor, Mike Elko, Chris Klieman, maybe at Kansas State, and then there's some others as well. It's just not a super great list. And so, like, they could end up having pulling from, like, the same candidates as a Michigan State in the search. So, that just tells you, I think, kind of where A&M is. I know they do have all the resources, but resources aren't everything. And so, it's going to be interesting to see where they go. Because I think it's gotten harder for them. I think it might be the hardest team it's on, the new realignment with Oklahoma coming in. It makes their situation so much tougher.
They were the Texas SEC school. Right. I mean, you know, that was their big draw. And we all know, as you said, like, their culture is money. Money talked. Money got them a recruiting class, but the success didn't follow, right? One of my favorite parts about coaching carousel season is that not only is it fun to just see the hot boards. I mean, I just get kind of you dream, right? Even if you're not a fan of that program, it's fun to see what the domino effects could be elsewhere. But you also get the denials. And I love the coaches having to deny that they're going somewhere. And why can I not find the Deion Sanders one? Because the Deion Sanders one.
Yeah, the one coach, about my wife's here, my dog's here. The kids are here. Yeah. I think Colorado's football team actually tweeted that out.
Yeah, I went to Coach Prime's account, and it wasn't Coach Prime. It was the football account that tweeted it out. And it's so funny because it's just two-word sentences. I am here. I am here. My mother is here. My sister is here. My dog is here. My daughter is here. Three of my sons are here. And my other daughter comes out for the home games. I get mail here. I pay taxes here. I'm here. I mean, I just love that that's something that you fail at if you're writing a – all right, I need you to write why you wouldn't move. You're sending this to a 10-year-old, fifth grade, and you're like, kid, you gotta mix up your language a little bit here. It just so funny. And I love, too, that unlike the Dan Lanning, where Lanning tries to come across as this – hey, I'm not trying to get a raise. Like, I'm serious. I mean this from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, A, he could just be lying. B, Prime's just like, I'll just put out this silly graphic. I don't even feel like answering the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And once everything settles, we do our yearly coaching carousel show where we kind of go through every hire and kind of discuss everything. But that will get there when we get here. But with Deion Sanders, I think what people don't realize, I think people that are really into this, follow it all the time, know it, but Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders can't transfer again.
Mm-mm.
They've used their one-time transfer. They're stuck. So they're stuck at Colorado. So he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, you know? At least a two-year deal.
Yeah. So he's stuck there for this year. Now, next year, all bets are off, but he's stuck there. Right now. He's not going anywhere. Dan Lanning, that was an interesting one to me because I think that's the big name in that A&M search we're seeing pop up. Like, I mean, are we sure that's a better job than Oregon? I don't think it is.
No, I wouldn't, especially – I'm curious how the Big Ten dynamics play at that. But, I mean, you've got Nike there. But that's just, almost just, like oil money, you know.
They're in the Big Boy Conference. Mm-hmm. And what jobs are better than Oregon in the Big Boy Conference? Michigan – Ohio State for sure. USC for sure. And that's it. I mean, in Michigan, we think so. But I think Oregon's a better job than Penn State.
Yep.
You know, I think, you know, Michigan is close. The only thing with Oregon is, can you recruit there? But I think Cristobal and Lanning have both shown that they could, that's a place that can recruit nationally. It's one of the rare places that mm-hmm. can go out and its brand can recruit kids from all over the United States. Not all schools are like that. Like, Auburn can't do that like Oregon can, in my opinion. And so that's what makes them unique in that aspect.
It's going to be fun. We're just getting started. We had that opening in Mississippi State where...
Yeah. I do want to touch on that because obviously John Summerall is the big one there, Nick. Mississippi State, Dan Mullen, offensive play caller. Joe Moorhead, offensive play caller. Mike Leach, offensive play caller. They had their best decade-plus run in program history doing that. Four top 25 finishes, couple of nine-win seasons. They go defensive coordinator. It implodes. I very much think they're going to be offensive play caller and head coach is what they're looking for. That's who I think the hire would be. So you're looking at like a Jamie Chadwell, a Rhett Lashley, and then maybe a guy like Oklahoma offensive coordinator Jeff Lebby if they wanted the coordinator out. I think that's who they're going to kind of focus on. So I don't think Summerall will get that job, but he's definitely going to be in that mix there, and you're going to hear his name, I think, mentioned when that job
comes up.
Quite a few
of these. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But specifically that one, and then Arkansas, if Arkansas opens, Nick, they've tried to hire Gus Malzahn a couple of times. Like, this is the one time it feels like they could get him. So for me,
bring him back.
For me, do we get Gus Malzahn back at SEC Media Days? That's my big question if Arkansas opens.
Yeah, but then Gus can't wear his cool Florida shirts anymore.
Yeah, that's right. But seeing Arkansas host Auburn would be awesome with Gus Malzahn on the Arkansas sidelines.
But does Gus – I just can't. Gus doesn't have that pop for me anymore. I don't – I mean, they've been pretty so-so.
Yeah.
And also they just –
That's why would they hire him? But I don't – I think there's going to be people pushing for him because he's the –
Prodigal son.
Guy. Right. Yeah.
Returns home. So we'll have plenty more to talk about the coaching carousel. It's going to be an ever-present part of 11 personnel over the next few months. It's a lot of fun. And it's brought to you by our friends at Game Time. You want to go watch these coaches in person for the final time? Go on to the Game Time app. GameTime.co is the website. Download the Game Time app. Put in promo code KSR. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase. I think you should heavily consider checking out your tickets now for some of these games. We got Rivalry Week coming up. We got Kentucky basketball coming up. The Game Time app, it's very simple to use. You can see your seat before you buy it. It only takes two clicks. It's very simple. Like it. I can't stress out. It was one of the rare times where I didn't have to get that call from my dad on how it works. It was just boom, two clicks, tickets on your phone, you're ready to rock and roll. There's no hassle whatsoever, and there's a lot of big games coming up. So do yourself a favor and get on the Game Time app today. Promo code KSR for $20 off at checkout. That's also, if you're thinking about the bowl game, that's going to be the move for the bowl game tickets because the UK allotment, I know they're proud of that, and they're going to want us to push that when it comes to the time because it helps them in the eyes of the bowl game, but you'll be able to get tickets at a much better rate if you go through our friends at Game Time this college football bowl season.
Yeah, I know that's true, but they're kind of stuck because they're going to be behind Tennessee. They're going to be behind Missouri. They're going to be behind LSU. Going to be behind Ole Miss, right? So 3-5, 4-4, to me, like it's not a huge difference between those.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about, like, for their – Yeah. Big picture. Right, Mitch looks good if he's –
Disregard.
But it'd be real nice if we ended up in Florida, you know. Get to stay with Florida Doug in Jacksonville for the Gator Bowl. Huh?
Would not hate that. Definitely wouldn't hate that.
I need to – I haven't pounded some beers with Florida Doug in a while. Okay, I'm overdue. I'm long overdue. Let's get into a little bit with this South Carolina game because on paper I see these pass defenses and I know the last two meetings have been slobber knockers. Kentucky, what was it, 15-10 the last time down in Columbia?
16-10, yeah.
That's the only night game Shane Beamer's lost at home in 3 years as being the South Carolina head coach. And then last year, Beamer even pointed this out, you know, if you don't mess up the trick play and they don't block a punt, I mean, that game's basically even for the most part. And you didn't have Will Levis there.
I forgot about the block punt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People forget about the block punt. Beamer had to go in Beamer with his special teams play. So that was a 24-14, and those are two basically scoring plays right there. So history says this is a slobber knocker, but these pass defenses, South Carolina's 108 in EPA, Kentucky's 86, and they've really been gashed by above average passing offenses at this point. So I can't get away from that, Lucky. Like, I can't look past that for whatever reason. That is the one thing that is just standing out in my mind above all else. And I'm a little worried because I know Spencer Rattler is a little bit more consistent with Leggett than Leary has been with his pass catchers up to this point in the season.
Yeah, to your point, Nick, the under 7-1 in this series, the last 8 meetings. So this has typically been a lower scoring game. Kentucky's 8-2 ATS since Mark Stoops arrived against the Gamecocks. Both losses were with backup quarterbacks. So when he has his starting quarterback, he has an unblemished spread record against South Carolina. Even when they were a 21-point dog in 2013, they played probably their best game of the season down there and lost by 7. Like, Jalen Wentlow was on fire there in that game. And if they could have got – they almost got an onside kick there at the end, if you remember, way back. And their offense was rolling at that point.
Well, that was at home, right? Yeah, that was
– that was 2013. That was at
– yeah. No,
because Clowney didn't – they had Clowney and he didn't play. Yeah, I was at Williams-Brice.
No, it was at Kentucky because I was – or would Whitlow have played in 12?
Yeah, you're thinking 2012.
I'm thinking 12 because game was surprisingly close. Because it was my 21st birthday. I did a tailgate. And you know what? If I can remember anything from that, shout out to me. You know, kudos to me.
So Kentucky plays well against South Carolina. To me, like, you look at the South Carolina defense, Nick, they have a lot of problems. It's the worst defense, power conference defense Kentucky has seen since Vanderbilt, I think by a good margin. Florida's pretty bad now in hindsight, but I even think it's probably a little worse than Florida, but it's close. They've been lit up by every offense they've played. Mississippi State scored 30 points, had their best offensive game of the season. Graham Mertz threw for over 400 yards, had his best game of the season. Texas A&M, who's labored on offense, scored 30 points. And the list goes on and on. Tennessee had a huge game offensively against this offense. And Kentucky, when you kind of look at them, like, the offense is doing some good things. There was a question in the chat that I saw. Sorry if I missed the name there, but it was basically, what are the numbers Scangarello and Cohen? And they're a lot better. Kentucky's like top 40 in yards per play. They were in the hundreds last year. They're like 42nd, I believe, in red zone touchdown percentage. They were in the hundreds there last year. Points per drive, they're top 50. It was down near 100 in the 90s last year. They've made strides on offense. Mm-hmm. And I think Kentucky, even in some of these other games, they've scored some points. Missouri just held Tennessee to 7. It was Missouri who defense kept them in that game a long time against Georgia. Like, they scored 21 points against that Missouri defense. They sputter out, but they put some 3 or 4 really good drives together, and they score points. They scored some points against Alabama. They scored some points against Georgia. Not a lot, but had some moments in that game. And then I think in the Mississippi State game, I think if Leary doesn't get hurt, they at least add another touchdown on there, and then they have 30-plus points in that game. So they're scoring some points. I think they're going to be able to score against the South Carolina defense, and then you switch to the other side. We all know Rattler in that passing game. Now, one thing I'll say, it's very much one wide receiver driven in Xavier Leggett. So if you can slow him down, you kind of slow down the offense. Their running game has been pretty bad. And Rattler's getting the ball out quick, Nick. I mean, we've talked about it, how the issues their offensive line are having. So it's not like – I don't think it's going to be like Georgia and Alabama where they're driving the ball vertically down the field. I think it's going to be more quick game and getting it out fast. So for Kentucky, it's going to just be all about, you know, tackling and stopping the run. If they tackle in space and stop the run, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape. But
the carry-on Joyner is likely out, their receiver / running back.
Yeah, Mario Anderson's their best back, and he's having a good year, but he's still, his success rate is poor. It's right around 37%. But every other back is averaging under 3 yards per rush. And they're banged up, and their offensive line's banged up. It's very much a trench game. Like, if Kentucky's defensive line should have their way with the South Carolina offensive line, and Kentucky's offensive line, as long as they're not stinking up the joint, I think they're going to have a good day on offense. And as long as Kentucky's defensive line plays to their standard, I think they're going to cause some issues for South Carolina. If those two things happen, I think Kentucky wins. But if they don't, then I think it could get a little scary for the Wildcats down there. But I do think they are the better team. But you look at just Kentucky's pass defense versus South Carolina's offense, and especially if Rattlers gets hot, and we've seen him get hot in the past, that's, I think, the real scary part of this game.
Yeah, and the other part of it, too, is how I got to go back to their defense, because they really put themselves in a weird spot. They just completely changed everything they did in Week 10. Now, I don't know if that was Vanderbilt dependent or not.
There's a lot of quit, throw it in the towel, tank, going on over there with that Vanderbilt. They very much folded it in, and even Clark Lee kind of talked about it in his press conference. So I think they had a lot to do with that. But yeah, I mean,
right. Vandy just went to 3-3-5 look essentially and played cover. They just got out of what they normally did. So I don't know how much that's going to complicate the game plan. You know, like how much of it is actually they wanted to do that because they thought they would be good at it versus they're doing that to try to just mess with their final two opponents and put a bunch of stuff on film and overprepare for just way too much.
I think it's more they stink right now. We got to try something else. I think if they thought it would have probably worked as well as they did, they probably would have saved it for a week.
Yeah, fair enough.
Clayton White, I think, is their defensive coordinator, is on the hot seat. So he's trying to find solutions.
The other part of it, too, if you're going to play three down, well, okay, let's run some outside zone, get Ray Davis rolling, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. It's gonna be a lot different than what they see from Mississippi State, because that's the first thing that pops in my head. 3-3-5, you just saw 3-3-5, didn't look great. So
Mississippi State, though, that's what they do.
Yeah,
you know, right. That's embedded in their culture.
Their linebackers are way, way better.
Their two linebackers they're like two of the top three tacklers in the SEC. Just those two guys alone. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll see. But this is still this is a team Kentucky should go score some points against. Like, I think that's a lot of this game to me. Like, offense, go score some points against a bad defense. This is a bad defense. Go score some points. Defense. Stop the run. Don't give up big plays passing. And if you do that, you're gonna get South Carolina in some winnable third down situations. Like, to me, that's kind of the game there. To me, you know, then you need to go and do it. But this is a game Kentucky should win. They're the better football team, in my opinion. But they have to go and do it.
Let's discuss the Kentucky defense, which has been ugly at times, but you're going to look damn good if you're rocking some Bird Dogs. So, listen, fellas, tell the ladies in your life to go to birddogs.com/KSR. Click that link. Scroll through some of the fine selections they have there, whether it's stylish polos. I'm a big fan of the shorts. Look, it's been warm enough that I got to rock my Bird Dogs today. They're great. They're just so great. They're so nice. Love the zippers. Love the built-in liner. So efficient. And also so nice that they feel like they're so comfortable, but they look stylish from afar. So I think it's going to be warm enough this weekend, too, where I can wear my Bird Dog khaki shorts down to Columbia, where they look like gym shorts, or they look like dress shorts, but they feel like gym shorts. Get yourself a pair this holiday season. Tell the woman in your life, put in that promo code, and you're going to get a Hydro Flask-style water bottle with that purchase to stuff in somebody's stocking, bring it out, white elephant gift, whatever it may be. Promo code KSR at checkout at birddogs.com. Look at this Kentucky defense. I don't know how shell-shocked they are.
Right, yeah.
That's really my, especially in the secondary, they've been beat up where it feels like every other week there's somebody. You know, we had Drew Phillips out a week ago. I may have heard that another safety was walking around with a boot on his foot on campus, you know. And
Jordan Lovett again?
You know, I mean, it's just kind of a rotating door at this point. And for me, Kentucky, when they play these top 25 offenses, they get gashed. They've just been getting gashed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Is 25 the hard line? Because South Carolina's at 30. You know, I mean, they're just on the outside of that because they're inefficient in the run game, because they can't protect the quarterback. And I think of all the disappointing things about last weekend, it's just that they didn't get to Milroe much at all. And there was a couple times that he was pressured, but it was coming from the interior and he ran away from it so easily. Or that, you know, Ox sets a hard edge and then Milroe makes one cut, he slips and falls, goes the other way and runs like 20 yards. Rattler isn't as good of an athlete as Milroe. But if Gene Chizik can get 9 freaking sacks against this damn team, then Kentucky should be able to get his ass into the ground. That's the part where I'm going to live with the big Leggett play that's going to happen this game. I mean, it's going to happen, right? You got to just prepare for that accordingly, Big Blue Nation. But I want to see Spencer Rattler under duress. And you know what? I'll even if there's only 1 or 2 sacks and he's having to put himself in uncomfortable situations and throw the ball away. So, but they have got to do a better job of getting after the quarterback this week than they did a week ago against an offensive line that has been giving up sacks all year long.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of this game, is getting some pressure on Rattler. You have to take advantage of that. Now, he's getting the ball out fast, but you got to get him down on the ground when you can. I mean, you got to, you know, that was a big part last week. Vandy didn't get 1 sack against South Carolina, and that had a lot to do with that blowout victory. I think when you look at, you know, South Carolina, he's posted some big numbers, Nick, but he's also thrown the ball a lot.
Yeah.
And he's had some ugly performances too. Under 5 yards attempt against Tennessee, under 5.5 yards attempt against Missouri, under 5.5 yards per attempt.
There's a lot of
Texas A&M.
Bad teams at home, stat padding, and also playing from behind, and that's the only thing that works, so I'm going to throw it 55 times.
Yeah, but they're going to have success throwing the football against Kentucky. I don't think that's in doubt. It's just situationally, Kentucky's got to win in some big areas. Most notably third down. Nick, to your point about the top 20 offenses, Kentucky, 4 games against top 20 offenses, 3.7.1 points per drive, which is a lot. That would be if a team had 10 drives, they would score 37 points. That's a lot of points. 51.7% success rate, which is extremely high, right at 7 yards per play, which is very, very high.
And quick question: what is your metric, your stat?
Yeah,
for,
should have started that. ESPN's SP+
SP plus.
Bill Connolly's opponent, okay. Tempo adjusted rankings here.
Didn't know if you were going off success rate or what. Okay,
and
got
then
it.
non-top 20 offenses, and one of these offenses, Florida's a top 30 unit. Florida's currently 29th.
Oh.
1.22 points per drive, which is really good. 35.2% success rate, really good. 4.3 yards per play.
That's
really
good. Yeah.
It's very Jekyll and Hyde operation right now. So Florida and, or excuse me, South Carolina and Louisville, the last two teams on the schedule, are clearly better than Vanderbilt and Mississippi State on offense. No one is denying this. But they're not as good as Georgia or Alabama or Missouri, in my opinion. And Tennessee is very much the scheme is an issue for Kentucky for whatever. Correct. You know, we don't need to. We've talked about that 100 times. but these two offenses are more comparable to me to Florida. So if Kentucky held that Florida offense to, I believe, 14 points on 10 possessions, Mertz had a high completion percentage, but they kept him mostly in check, didn't give up explosives, and totally took the run game out of the day. Like, everyone left that stadium thinking, man, Kentucky's defense was really good shape.
Oh, right? I thought it was the best. It could be the best defense of the Brad White era after that game. I mean, that's how much things have changed.
And so I think they're going to have some more success defensively this week. I don't think South Carolina's going to post a huge success rate number against Kentucky like Alabama and Georgia did. And so I think they're going to have some more success, and I think Kentucky's offense should score some points. I would favor Kentucky in that. But I'm very interested in these last two games, Nick. Which one is it? Like, are they the defense up top that anyone with a pulse are just terrible against, or are they the defense from the bottom where they just got by two good offense, two national championship caliber offenses, and a Tennessee team schematically that they just don't have answers for whatever reason? Like, that's really what I want to see, and I think these last two games will tell us.
That's
the most interesting part of this game, and then even next week's game.
Because each team they aren't consistent high scorers, but they're capable of it. You know, they have that pop in them. So that's a great point. Look, I do want you to explain something to me that's kind of unrelated to this. Because I'm fascinated by Kentucky's EPA versus their success rate in the run. Because they're ranked 25th in EPA against the run. They're 55th in success rate. Does that essentially mean they're good at preventing the big plays? Or
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because
another stat that kind of tells this, Nick, is line yards per rush that you're giving up. Kentucky is like 5th in the conference. In the line, which is pretty much like if it's like if they get past the line of scrimmage kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're great at second level and open field yards. So second level is pretty much, does it get past the linebackers? And then open field is like, does it get to the third level in open space? Mm-hmm. Kentucky, according to Cover2SEC.com, leads the conference, or is second in the conference in second level yards rushing, and leads the conference in open field yards, where they're 6 in line yards.
So essentially, it's illustrating the thought that we've all had, where opponents are pretty good at getting that 2 or 3, 4 yards on first down, right? Success rate, staying ahead of the chains, but they aren't giving up the big plays in the run game. Right. And the byproduct is opponents are converting third downs at an incredibly high rate. And it's been really bad as of late as well. But that's because they have easy third down opportunities.
Yeah, that is true. But also, yeah, I think the completion percentage defense has a bigger part in that.
Yeah.
Just the passing defense in general.
Yeah.
And teams aren't having to run it an awful lot against Kentucky. They're just saying, hey, they can't stop the pass. Let's pass it. And that's the scary part of this week. South Carolina leads the SEC in pass play percentage, ranked number 16th nationally. They're very much just running it, trying to keep the pass rush at bay.
Eating runs.
If things go to plan, I wouldn't be surprised if Rattler gets close to 50 throws, because that's their best offense, is him just in the pocket making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it's at. I think Kentucky's run defense has been fine. I think it's been good. Pretty much all year, but except for the Tennessee game. But the pass defense is where the problems are. And you can blame the pass rush, and you can blame coverage. I mean, they've both had issues. I think coverage is kind of the bigger issue.
Right.
But if you're going to play a cover 3 scheme and a zone scheme, you have to be able to rush the passer and generate pressure with 4. If you can't do that, you're toast a lot of times. And so, especially against good passing offenses, and they've played a lot more good passing offenses than they typically play in a single season, in my opinion.
That's true. Either way, it should be a good game. Is it Kentucky -1, I believe, was the last I saw?
It's 1.5 this afternoon. I haven't checked since then.
You can find that line on FanDuel. One thing I like about FanDuel too, like it, they've got Heisman odds out, and it's lower than it was a week ago. But I jumped on Jane Daniels at +350.
I did too.
It wasn't what I think it was 9-1 last week, but he's the game he had against Florida on Saturday. It was, you know, it was Lamar jumping over the Syracuse guy, where you're just like, oh, he's just doing things that other people can't do. That 85-yard touchdown run, all of his stats. I mean, I'm shocked that Bo Nix is still the favorite. I guess I'm not paying close enough attention to his production.
He's just going to get the extra data point in the conference championship game. That's the scary part. Then.
Right.
Him or Penix, like whoever wins that game is going to get the extra data point.
But there might be a little bit of SEC fatigue, but I mean, a USC quarterback won it last year, so it's not like we haven't had a West Coast at all. But the Daniels production, in spite of his defense, has been incredible. And also, the other thing, too, like when it comes to the Heisman Award, and I get that you want to give it to a guy who's on a team that's good, but if there's a better player out there, he deserves it more than the guy who's just the best player on a better team. I mean, it should be more of a best player award than a best player on the best team award.
I think the numbers might just be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Where he might win it.
Well, I mean, especially with the deadbeat Texas A&M on the schedule. And who they got FCS this week?
Georgia State this week.
Yeah. So
that I do worry because he doesn't have a big game the last 2 weeks. And that matters sometimes.
Oh, if he becomes an afterthought.
Yeah, what if like Michael Penix has a huge game this weekend against Oregon State, a big window. They play a rivalry game next week. They're in the playoff hunt, so people are paying attention to them. Then they play Oregon and Vegas. That would be the concern. But I took it too. I got it +370. And I also took, now we're talking about futures, I went ahead, Nick, and just went roll with Georgia, +250 to win the title. I think they're the best team. I think they're going to go – they should be going undefeated now. They can even lose Alabama and get in the dance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're the best team. And if they get past Bama, and they're not going to have to see them again.
Yeah.
And I'll take them over the rest of the field. So I went ahead and took Georgia at +250 over at FanDuel.
You can get, as we said, FanDuel Sportsbook, the number one sportsbook in America. Download it today. Put in promo code PERSONNEL. And make your initial deposit, place a $5 money line wager. If you hit it, you're going to get $150 in bonus bets in your wallet today. Whether that's a big money line favorite or you just want something juicy, FanDuel, they'll hook you up. They've got all the best bets, player props, whatever it may be. Love player props in college basketball. I don't even think I'm going to bet sides anymore, Luckett. I think I'm just betting player props because I can't choose a damn side right, but I'm getting player props left and right. So FanDuel Sportsbook, FanDuel.com/personnel, $5 money line wager, a winning $5 money line wager gets you $150 in bonus bets. Must be 21 and older in the state of Kentucky. First online real money wager only, $10 initial deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.sportsbook.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Like it? We tried to get the Kentucky hot start. I individually had wagers on the Leary 2 touchdowns and a Dane Key touchdown. And we got one. I was just not going to lie. After Ramon Jefferson got it down there, I was like, throw it in. Throw it. Just get him there.
Yeah. If he would have got stopped another time, he would have had to, I think.
This week, it's the Suck It Shane parlay. The Suck It Shane 11 personnel parlay. Look at what do we got in the Fade Beamer Suck It Shane parlay.
+358 of this afternoon. UK, -1.5. UK first quarter, -1.5.
Boom.
UK first half, -1.5. UK
Boom.
Team total over 27.5.
Boom.
I think of all those, I think I feel best about that team total over, Nick.
I think I'm going to hop on that separately just right now.
South Carolina's defense is bad. I think Kentucky's going to score some points here. I think they're going to have to score some points to win this game. So give me that team total over 27.5.
Boom. Lock it in. We're going to have more picks tomorrow on the Pigskin preview. Had a pretty good week last week. I mean, aside from, I mean, the one loss I had, the good thing is they don't take more money away if you lose by more. Because if not, then I would have lost all of it.
I mean, Alabama hit the total by themselves.
Whew.
The column had a nice bounce back week. 4-2 in our traditional picks, 3-1 in props, a 7-3 weekend. Got two more to go. We're going to close strong. Pigskin preview, I think we went 4-2 combined. So,
yep.
Nice bounce back as our Iowa ATM just keeps on cashing for us this year.
Oh, I had to jump on that Iowa under too when Cooper DeJean was announced out for the year. Because he was good for at least setting them up for a score. So let's just keep riding this. 30.5, that's high for an Iowa game.
At this point, you're right. I'm very interested to see how that unfolds because they're going to win the West. I mean, they're a win away from winning the West.
Yeah.
So they're going to go and get destroyed in Indianapolis by Ohio State or Michigan. But actually, Ohio State has kind of struggled to score at times, and maybe they could make like muck that up where it's not like a 24-10 loss, maybe, or 24-7. But like, what does Kirk do? Is he really running it back, or is it, did he like quietly retire?
Right.
Very interested to see how that plays out.
The other thing that I'm interested to see, how low can you go in the Nebraska-Iowa total?
Oh, like, I didn't even think about that. I mean, that's got to be 25-ish, 26.
I would think, right? I mean,
And it's on a Friday, so it's Friday at noon, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, give me that.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Give me. Want to see those TV ratings for that sicko fest.
Oh, it's you know who's going to be tuning in? Yours truly.
Did you see what happened? I mean, we watched it up in the box, but Chubba Purdy threw that interception. I missed this during the game, Nick, but I think Harburg, their starter, got hurt or something. They put Jeff Sims in, and he turned the ball over 3 times in like 4 possessions. So they had to pull him. They're still going to win the game, and then they threw an interception in the end zone. And
Chubba Purdy.
Shocker of the century, Nebraska fans are not happy with Marcus Satterfield.
Oh, who could have seen that coming?
Who saw that coming, right? Yeah. Couldn't be us. And then Matt Rhule is just kind of, you know, trying to defend them and say it's not everybody's, it's not his fault, blah, blah, yeah. But they're, like, Nick, they were on the verge of bowl eligibility, right? They were 5-3, played at Michigan State, interim head coach Michigan State. They were better than, lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
Turnovers were a big deal. Then host Maryland, a reeling Maryland team, had them beat, find a way to lose that game. Now they have to go to Wisconsin, and then they have Iowa at home. They're going to be a dog in each. That would be brutal. Brutal. Yeah. If they can't win one of those and they end up 5-7 and that bowl drought continues.
Oh, would be such a shame. Really. Really would be. love some – you're not getting crocodile tears from me.
Nick, how are you feeling about this game? So where, like, when we make our predictions, where are you going to be at?
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
It's my heart, you know. We got to the time of the year where we've got, I mean, this happens every November. Kentucky gets shellacked by somebody in football, and then the basketball team loses the Champions Classic, and I'm in a bad spot mentally. You know, got the Cards coming around the corner, first game against the family. I'm just going to be in a weird spot. And so I'm trying to keep my outlook positive, but I'm so, so worried about this Kentucky defense not rallying. I just, if they don't get pressure on Rattler, I'm just worried that even if this offense gets 31 points, that it's not going to be enough. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I'm also just trying to distract myself from not thinking about that. So my real hope, and I don't think this is wishful thinking either, is just that Ray Davis is going to have, like, he's due for a big game.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that getting the balance back is going to help a lot. And that's kind of baked into me thinking Kentucky's going to have a big game on offense. I think they're going to be able to run the football.
Yeah.
Some here, and I think you're going to have a big game. But I do, like, Kentucky and kind of these pick 'em-ish games at the end of the season, they perform well. Now, playing Louisville has a lot to do with that. because they've had Louisville's number in those games. But Missouri last year was a PK. They went down there and won. They beat, you know, Vanderbilt's in there too. They beat South Carolina in 2020. That was a bad South Carolina team, obviously. But they've had some wins here, and they've been able to bounce back in November and record some wins. A lot of that's against Louisville. Well,
the mental aspect of it is the part that I'm holding on to, because I think this team's going to be pissed off from this revenge spot from last year. You know?
Yeah, you would think there's – like, to me, I'm trying to take all of that out of there, because there's just no way I think you can handicap where they are, where South Carolina is, all of that, you know, to me. You just got to – it's just going to have to see how that plays out. I just look at it as Kentucky should score on this team. I think they're going to get some stops on this team. I don't see South Carolina going to score 35-plus points. I think they can win this game. They can go in there and win this game like a 34-23. That's how kind of I see it. It would be perfect, this team, to go and win this game by double digits.
I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it. I'm going to love hearing your thoughts in the car Friday about this Thursday night football game, because, dude, this is a big one. We went from Panthers and Bears to a game with significant playoff implications, because the AFC North is loaded. You're over 500 and fourth in the division. So how are we feeling going into this game? Because I have no idea what Bengals team is going to show up to this game.
I am not super happy about the biggest game of the year being on a short week. Not super thrilled that short week on the road, that this is how this game is playing out. Bengals are banged up. T. Higgins isn't playing. Sam Hubbard's probably a scratch.
It's Trey Hendrickson.
He's going to play. He's a freaking maniac, number one. Two, but he's going to be limited. Do not love how this game is setting up. Bengals run defense was very iffy last week. Ravens can run the ball. So I don't love how it's going here, but these are the moments where Burrow typically plays the best, but they're going to need a really good game from him. But he played. Yeah. I thought he played really good last week. The two turnovers are just they were down. He had to play hero ball, and even then, I mean, if they catch that touchdown pass, they win the game. That was a bad loss, but that was a crazy game there in Cincinnati.
The Ravens did show you on Sunday that they're liable to just poop down their legs too at any given moment.
I think for the Bengals, like, if they win this one, I think they're winning the division, and I think they're right back there, and they're going to end up being like the two or the three seed. Because you look at the AFC, Nick, it's pretty wide open. If the Eagles win in KC, the Chiefs will have three losses, and so then everybody is like within a loss of each other, right?
And who's next up after Kansas City for that one seed? Who would be? I guess the Dolphins.
Baltimore. Uh-huh. I think Miami 6-3 and Baltimore 7-3. So Baltimore by a half game, but they're even in the loss column.
And hell, and the Jags were, I think, 5-3 before that loss on
I think
Sunday.
They're 6-3 now. They were 6-3 with the loss. I think they're 6-3 right now.
So there's a lot right there. A lot still to play for. And it's
gonna make December wild. Like, December's gonna be
Gonna be fun.
Yeah. But big game. Don't love this on a short week. The Bengals have won a lot recently against the Ravens, but they're always feel like they're never like an easy win. It's always like down to the wire and some shenanigans.
Really feel like we get a lot of when Lamar Jackson plays prime time, there's always some shenanigans. So I'm hoping he has to run to the bathroom at some point. I just want to make the fumble joke, right? It's that time of the year. Louisville's right around the corner. And that's what he does. He fumbles it a lot. So we could have
awesome
that right around
week
the corner.
Week two. I mean, he was awesome. That was probably the best game he's played all year. Or one of them was week two in Cincinnati. He was awesome in that game. But a huge game. I mean, Bengals don't have a division one yet. Like, they have to – they really – their backs are against the wall. And so this is a big, big spot for them. And they're banged up, so we'll see.
Big weekend for the 11 personnel crew. We'll be down in Columbia. If you're out Friday night, hit us up. We're going to be getting after it. I know at some point we're going to stop in Pearls, like it, because it's just – love that place.
Looking forward to it. I don't think I've ever been there.
It is – it's just lots of vibes that I'm trying to catch. So Hit us up at some point. We're going to be getting after it, having ourselves a fun time Friday night, and hopefully celebrating even more Saturday night with a big win in the middle of the sandstorm at Williams-Brice Stadium. Kickoff is 7:30 on the SEC Network. We'll share our predictions Thursday on the Pigskin Preview. And we'll have a lot more content coming. Check out KS Board as well. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Crow Green.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.